The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. For those of you joining us for the first time, Bad Storytellers is a podcast about a small group of amateur writers who submit and critique each other's work as well as discuss the written media we consume. It's like a book club but with a wider focus. Our group submissions are shared on our website, badstorytellers.com, and you can download them there if you'd like to read along with us. Additionally, we also accept your submissions for critique. If you would like some feedback with the same candor that we give each other, send in your submission to badstorytellers@gmail.com. Entries must be 10 pages or less. Additionally, at the end of each show, we roll the dice, pick three genres, and come up with a movie idea. Once we decide upon a name, we record the trailer for your listening pleasure. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bad Storytellers, and welcome to our debut on the Nerdy Show Network.
Woo!
This is episode 20. It's our first episode under the Nerdy Show banner. I've got a couple cool things planned, and one of them is we're going to... Instead of rolling the dice three times and finding three genres to make a trailer out of, we have 20 trailers. We're going to roll a die 20, and whichever one falls under there, I got a list of the trailers.
Don't we
here.
Have 21 trailers?
We do, but one's banked.
I think the reboot episode we didn't have a trailer for.
No, it's we did. Remember, because we put out 19 episodes previous to this, and we put the extra trailer in episode 5, which was better than the real thing. So I've got them all on a list. So we're going to roll a die 20, and whichever one it lands on, we're going to make a sequel for.
Awesome.
This will be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be.
Chrome on the range.
It's going to be the one we least suspect, is that's the thing.
It's going to be the Friar Calowick.
Oh, critical failure, one.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got some retractions from last episode.
So many retractions.
As always. So I was wrong when I said that I had only seen the New Frontier DC animated movie. I also saw Under the Red Hood. And it was amazing.
I love that that's a retraction, because there's no possible way anyone could have ever called you on that.
Yeah, but I was wrong, and I want to make...
He's being up front, yo.
I'm doing it. So I couldn't find anything about a new Wizard of Oz movie other than that the sequel to Oz the Great and Powerful that's in development.
Oh, they must have canceled it.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that CG Wizard of Oz movie that came out that was like really, really panned. I don't even remember
Oz the Great and Powerful?
No, that was mostly CG, but no, that's with, what's his face, James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
The movie that included elements of Valis, that Philip K. Dick novel that we talked about, the movie that you mentioned is called Radio Free Albemuth.
Ah, yes.
Albemuth.
That sucked.
When it came out in 2010, Alanis Morissette apparently plays a large role in it.
Oh, wow. Is she God?
I don't think God is in this.
Oh.
Well, there's like a second coming of God. I don't know.
But in real life, yes.
Yes, she is. That's why she's on You Can't Do That in Television. We were looking for the literary term that describes the fox using oxen for their strength, being a kind of thing that's symbolic of his use in the character of the ox, and that is called an allegory. We couldn't remember what that was. So, also, Andrew Jackson died at the age of 78, not 96. I was wrong. And while some soldiers do receive a British knighthood, it is an honorary title and is not limited in any way to nationality. The overwhelming majority of recipients are artists, scientists, and charity workers. It is granted after a lifetime of accomplishment, and there is no modern order of British military knights that see combat.
Interesting.
And chimpanzees and gorillas do not have zoos where they keep humans.
Damn it.
I did look it up. The Wizard of Oz movie I was talking about is Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return from 2013.
It sounds like a turd.
That might have been the terrible thing that the L. Frank Baum one got turned into.
Maybe. So I want to apologize for my speech. It's a little more slurred than usual because I am on muscle relaxers because I experienced an incredibly painful and debilitating muscle spasm in my back that took over my entire body.
All right, and then three in solidarity, we're going to take one each.
And I was going to say, in solidarity, I'm going to get just obliterated drunk.
They don't get you high so much as they make your tongue less agile.
So you're saying it would ruin my ground game?
Yes. So what are you guys watching and doing? And what have you consumed that is media that has been written?
It's been a bit. Tony's on tour right now, and I got a really nice text message from him. He's like, you got to check out this comic book called Phonogram. and it's about people who listen to music and are music reviewers who experience music, and when they get to do it, they get to just become magicians. And they get to cast magic through listening and being super into music. And one of the things...
It's like a more extreme take on the X-Men character Dazzler?
No. But they do rituals and stuff with it. Like, one of the initial ones they do is any club that this guy goes to, he's on the list.
Oh.
Because he's just... He's that cool. Yeah, it was really good. I don't know how much I really liked it or how much it actually worked. It was a really interesting idea that was executed kind of to... diary like
oh it's it was too hands it was, off
well it was no it was like too specific to this person's musical taste or like their experiences. But I read the first volume, which is called Rue Britannia, and the second one called Singles Collection. Both of them were really fun, and I do recommend it if you're like into Brit pop, like Oasis. Okay. And Blur.
So if you're from 1998,
yes,
it's amazing.
Straight up your alley.
Cool.
I read Incognito Bad Influence, the sequel to,
yeah,
Incognito. Hit and miss.
Yeah.
Some really good parts, a lot of things that kind of made the previous volume less good.
Doug and I have a lot of strong opinions on that as well.
Yeah.
I started reading The Invisibles by Grant Morrison, which after reading the first volume and a half, The Matrix just stole almost all of its plot from it.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
That's awesome. I haven't read it yet.
It's by the same guy who wrote All-Star Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch Civil War.
The movie. Yeah. What'd you
enjoyed
think?
Enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. I think you're right about Black Panther and Spider-Man, but they're almost my favorite parts.
Sure.
So was it really odd?
Better than the baseball documentary?
No. No, it wasn't.
Oh, so...
You're talking about Ken Burns.
Yeah. I also...
Okay.
I saw his Jackie Robinson thing, too, yeah. But I didn't want to talk about it. And I watched the first episode of Preacher, which is a...
Oh, it's out. Is it finally started?
I have it recorded.
The first episode is out.
I read the comic. I liked most of it.
Yeah.
It's okay. The show right now, there's some big introduction differences, but I feel like they're working it. They're kind of getting where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the characters have changed to be a little more palatable.
Oh, so they probably don't cut to the naked angels arguing about the baby escaping.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Fucking.
He also doesn't kill his whole congregation.
Oh, really?
No.
Because it was accidental. I figured that would be good.
No, and Cassidy is introduced differently. Tulip is kind of
He's already introduced in the first episode.
Yeah. Cassidy, it's like the second scene.
Wow.
And it's a completely different introduction. It works, but it's not the comic, but it's in the vein of, and I think it works. And in that
scene... Is he the guy on the airplane and from the trailer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, who the hell is that?
Yeah. The actor they got to play, though. It isn't what I imagined, but when you see it, it works.
Oh, cool.
So I enjoy that.
Is he the one from Star Wars?
Mm,
who was in the gang on the Millennium Falcon?
No.
No?
Okay. No, that guy was also in Firefly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
This guy was in the second season of Misfits.
Oh, I haven't seen Misfits. I'll watch it.
You should watch Misfits.
I'll watch Preacher tomorrow. And,
because of that, I remembered that they made a season of Power. I don't know if anyone read the comic book Powers.
No.
It's about a homicide division that just follows murders with superheroes.
Is that not a PlayStation?
It's on the PSN. Yeah. I watched the first season. Kind of the same thing. They changed major things to kind of make it work on a smaller scale. But I like it all right. But I like the comic book a lot more as far as Powers goes. And then I saw a movie called Dreamworld, and it was a deconstruction of the manic pixie Dream Girl.
Awesome.
Which I really liked, because it finally directly mentions drug use being required for that person to exist. which I kind of liked.
You have to invent her yourself.
Yeah. Well, no, that for someone to act that... That whimsically... Yeah, they're on heroin. They're on heroin.
It's funny, because I remember when I understood the concept of Manic Pixie Dream Girl, but I didn't understand why it was offensive to women until I saw what Edward Cullen was in Twilight. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I get it. This pisses me off, too. Like, this is not realistic at all.
Yeah.
Well, it's not... My problem with it isn't that it's realistic. It's that it's an affectatious personality that does exist that everyone agrees they hate.
Yeah, if that person existed in real life, you'd hate them.
They do exist, and I've dated them.
didn't change your life for the better?
No. It's the direct opposite. It makes you feel special for a night, and then, they don't. If someone is whimsical and needs spontaneity, they don't keep hanging out with you. Yeah. They find someone else.
They abandon their children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's...
Wow. I was thinking I would be annoyed with them for abandoning their shoes, and then you just drop the children.
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
I was like, oh,
yeah. Everything works that way for them. Everything is a flight of fancy.
Is that it?
I'm sure there's more. I know I read a book. I forgot it. There's a lot. I made a list, and I'm still forgetting stuff.
Cool. What about you, Max?
I watched several things. I watched a movie on Netflix called The Deadlands about Maori warriors. It's loosely based on The Karate Kid, and it's fucking awesome.
I'm going to have to check it out.
It's very bloody.
You gave a very high endorsement of it in our group
chat. I watched it, and I'm like, that in no way was related to The Karate Kid, but it has the same... progression, yeah. And I was just like, and the bad guys are Maori, but they don't wear much, you know, loincloth and feathers, but the feathers look like pop collars. Like they're a volleyball team from some better school than you.
Interesting.
And they're huge, and like all of them lift every day because they're just jacked, and they come in there all like, and they flick their tongues to intimidate you. And they just remind me of the bad, like the Cobra Kai. So that was
good. You mean the obvious heroes?
The more you talk about this, the more I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Awesome. If you're in any way interested in the Maori or anything, it's pretty damn cool.
Because when you said it's the same plot as Karate Kid, I'm like, what? So it's Kickboxer? You know, it's like it's the same movie as well. Well, so is Crossroads. Mm-hmm. Crossroads.
Yeah.
Even stars Ralph Macchio. It's the same plot as the Karate Kid.
Wait, Britney Spears Crossroads or
no,
Ralph Macchio?
No, no, no,
Crossroads.
No. Ralph Macchio.
I always get angry because CMT always says like Crossroads. I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's a Britney Spears one.
Why would they play the Britney Spears one on CMT when they could play the blues one?
Nope.
That's what my brain thinks, and my brain is apparently wrong compared to reality.
Yeah.
Let's all agree that Crossroads, even though it's the same plot, better than The Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. Steve Vai, bro.
Hell yeah.
It's neat. The Maori weapons are really cool, the way they use them. And then I watched The Last Witch Hunter with Vin Diesel, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
I need to hear your description again because I think Doug's going to flip.
Okay. So he is it's based on D&D mostly. It's a world where magic exists, and I guess people just kind of live with that without going insane. And the church has this immortal warrior to hunt down witches when they get out of line. And Michael Caine is like his young sidekick.
He's Michael Caine.
Yeah, he's Michael Caine as the sidekick. And he calls him like, I don't remember what he calls him. Like
young squire.
Yeah, little buddy or something like that. And they just go through fighting magic, and it's... Well, fucking badass.
You said that at one point Vin Diesel's like, don't mess with that guy. He's a level 16
Yeah, there's
warlock.
A guy who's described as like a level 16 warlock or like a level 9, level 10 something warlock. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like they just went out with it. They broke the wall and they're like, no, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
What's funny is they're making a new Dungeons and Dragons movie because the last one was so great.
The last four were so great.
I don't.
They made more than one?
They made so many. I think they made, I know they made two.
Oh, man. I saw the one with Jeremy Irons, and I never thought I'd be embarrassed to watch Jeremy Irons.
But put that next to, like,
Turbo Kid, though.
Dungeon Siege, that one with Jason
Statham.
No,
you mean Michael Ironsides.
I do.
Yeah, sorry. No, Jeremy Irons.
Totally wrong.
Scar from Lion King.
Jeremy Irons in that versus Ray Liotta in the Dungeon Siege movie, though. Jeremy Irons.
There's a Dungeon Siege movie?
There's, like, three.
Yeah. What?
They're terrible.
Aren't they Uwe Boll?
Yeah, Uwe Boll, yeah.
Yeah. The first one is Jason Statham, Ron Perlman, Ray Liotta, and Lily Sobieski. And
Lily Sobieski? Yeah.
Those are the right people in the wrong movie.
Yeah.
John Rhys Davies.
Jesus Christ.
And then the second one was made on like a $5 budget with, God, who was the, I hate myself for this because I love him, the Russian boxer in Rocky.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. That was great. Then I watched Gods of Egypt.
Wow, man. Whoa. What are you doing to yourself?
No. The whole thing is pleasantly surprised by Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah.
Let's hear how this one goes.
No, I got Gods of Egypt because I had heard how terrible it was, and Lauren saw a trailer for it, and she's like, fuck, yes, that's my wife. And she's like, we're watching that. So we watched it. It made no goddamn sense, but she was happy because they were just like Jaime Lannister and who's the other guy?
Leonidas, King Leonidas.
Yeah, from 300. We're just like in like midriff showing armor fighting the whole time. So that was cool.
Is there a single Egyptian person in this movie?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm off for the summer and I don't really have anything to do during the day. So Well, I'm keeping on my kung fu train. I just watched Project A.
Oh shit! I need to lend you Return of the Five Deadly Venoms.
Crippled Masters.
Yeah, Crippled Avengers. Yeah, that's my favorite by far.
The 36 Chamber Shaolin.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really good ones on Netflix, but you just search kung fu to get into like the back door of it. But any of the Jackie Chan Hong Kong movies, I like a lot, and I'm showing to my wife.
I do need to now make an aside. I made my dad watch Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
And it took him about 15 minutes to get on board. And he was like, oh, I get what this movie is. I'm like, isn't it hilarious?
Yeah. Bananas.
Shaolin Soccer.
Shaolin Soccer, I think, is the better of them. Because it's just comedy from the start. Like, it's not even pretending to be serious.
Have you seen his new movie? He made a mermaid movie. I want to see it.
Okay.
It was like the biggest release in China 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Interesting.
Damn.
And it, like, I want to see it really
badly. I'm excited about Chinese and Russian cinema coming out.
Yeah, Russian cinema is going to be, I mean, Chinese cinema is already huge.
Yeah.
But Russian cinema is right.
Russia's doing it the way France does, where there's only a few releases a year, but they're government-backed and they're well-funded to what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there was a Russian movie about, was it Attila the Hun? Or Genghis Khan, I can't remember which.
Attila the Hun.
There was a movie that came out Attila recently.
Yeah. Well, this one was like maybe 5-6 years ago or more. I can't remember time, but really well done Russian movie, and I was like, fuck yeah. China just did a big budget Mulan I want to watch.
Oh, maybe more in line with the original story.
Yeah, little.
Than the Disney one.
Little more.
I remember. Are you saying that Disney doesn't do accurate depictions of history? Or fairy tales?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mulan is not history the
Let's
way that,
get
like,
down to
Lu
business,
Bu is history.
To but, defeat the Huns.
I remember just yelling at the screen when I first saw Mulan, because I hadn't seen it until my son was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching it, and I'm like, what? She didn't fight the Huns. The Huns didn't lose. Like, she fought. Like,
in reality, she didn't fight the Huns. She shot a rocket at a mountain.
I know. I was like, wasn't she supposed to be a frontline fighter? Isn't that the point of this? Yeah. And she doesn't.
No.
The most she does is at the end of the movie, she has a dress and she trips some people. That's it. I'm like, this is belittling. Everybody else uses swords and, like, gets in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Not Mulan.
He gets to wear drag.
Yeah.
That's why Rey is the best Disney princess. I don't know if she's a princess.
Rey?
But from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched Lilo and Stitch the other day. And if she qualified as a princess, the older sister is like one of the best characters in Disney.
Stitch is my favorite Disney character.
That's my girlfriend's favorite character, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about you, Doug?
I watched the first 3 episodes of Daredevil Season 2. So, I watched the first 3 episodes of Daredevil Season 2, and it's really good so far. I'm looking forward to more. I borrowed Creed, which I still want to watch. I have it on Blu-ray, just haven't watched it yet.
The end of Episode 4... Of Daredevil Season 2, I was like, where do they go from here? Like, this was too good. I don't know how they're going to do it.
That's what everybody says, but I have no idea, so I'm going to check it out. And maybe by the next recording, I'll have seen more. But other than that, haven't had much time for much else.
Did you notice, this thing bugs me so much by the end of the show, that's probably going to bug you too, is that the guy who plays the Punisher can never just look at anybody when he's talking.
Oh, he has to scowl?
He has to turn his head from side to side, and like constantly like, you know what, I don't know what you think about what I'm doing, Karen. Then you can't see me because it's a podcast, but I'm just flinging my head from left to right like he does when he talks. Yeah, it'll really get on your nerves, Doug.
Thanks for ruining the show for me when I just told you I was enjoying it.
He's like, nope. I'll have to start that one. Should I watch that one or the Jessica Jones one? Which one should I start with?
Daredevil's better.
But watch both.
Yeah, but watch Daredevil and then watch Jessica Jones.
Okay.
Well, watch Daredevil Season 1, then Jessica Jones, then Daredevil Season 2, because there's referencing, like, that's the order chronologically it goes in.
Yeah.
So Daredevil?
Season 1.
Have you not seen the first season?
Then Jessica
I haven't
Jones.
Seen any yet.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, that's where you start.
Yeah, if you're not sold by the end of episode 2 in season 1, then
there's
just
no
turn
hope
it
for
off.
You.
Yeah, just turn it off. You're not into it.
I remember the other thing I watched was Sweeney Todd.
Oh, I couldn't get it.
Even Barbara Fleetree.
The first 10 minutes, I turned it off because I'm like, oh, it's one of these movies.
I was sitting at my house, and I really wanted to watch Sweeney Todd, and Netflix didn't have it. I didn't see it on Hulu, so I went on YouTube, and I found like a high school play version that was 2 hours long, and I watched it. Like, people's parents didn't watch this thing, and I watched it.
How was it?
It was okay. They're... That definitely kid does influenced a great by Johnny the Depp movie.
Impression.
Yeah. No, that's what it was. It was like they were just was going the for the movie. They were, you know how they like the only reason they got excited by it was because Johnny Depp and but it wasn't bad. I watched it. Then I watched the Johnny Depp version, and other than scenery, it wasn't that much different.
You know? I turned on Sweeney Todd, the Johnny Depp version, and it's literally just people singing about what they're doing on screen. Mm-hmm. And I was
welcome
like,
to a musical.
And I was like, no. No, some musicals, they're talking about things they want or things that, you know, like literally she's like, I'm baking pies. Like, as she's baking pies. But I'm like, I'm done. Yeah. I can't handle it.
Alan Rickman is great.
Well, see, on stage, maybe that works much better because they don't have a set. You know,
right?
Yeah.
Like if you're on a stage and there's nothing there, you're like, "I'm baking pies." Oh, she must be baking pies. You know, it's like whereas if you're watching the movie,
this is necessary information.
Yeah. When you're like, "Yeah, I could fucking see the pies. Like I know what you're doing."
It's like an old Shakespeare plays when they say, "Oh, the moon is out tonight and it's really cold out here." Then you go, "Okay, I know where we are. Let's keep going." You know,
exactly. You start exactly. As for me, I'm still in the middle of Altered Carbon. Actually, I'm almost finished with it. The Richard K. Morgan book. It's really good. It's a noir detective novel, except for the main character is not a detective but is acting as one because he's been bullied into being okay. So the premise is death is pretty much gone because we implant these little things in the base of our neck that record our personality from the experience. So if you die, they can pull that out, pop it in a new body, and it's still you. You know, you're just in a new body. Well, this guy, the book opens with him dying. And then he's on Earth in somebody else's body. And he was nowhere near Earth before. He goes to the house of this rich guy who's like 300 years old, keeps resurrecting in the same body. And he's like, somebody killed me. Somebody came into my house and murdered me. And there's no evidence. And people are saying that it had to have been suicide because they couldn't have gotten in without my locks. And I want you to solve it. And he's like, what the fuck am I doing here? Because he's like, he has all these special skills because he's what's known as an envoy between colonies. And he's like an excellent fighter, and he knows when people are bullshitting him, and he can lie really effectively. So this guy figures if anybody can solve it, it's this guy.
It'd be the master diplomat, the master Renaissance diplomat.
So, but the cops that are investigating the thing, the skin that they call the body, the skin that he's been reinstated in, is the skin of a ex-corrupt cop who was the boyfriend of the current cop who is on the same case that he's. Detecting just to fuck with that cop, and like there's all this crazy corruption and stuff that he's uncovering, and like it's insane. It's actually really, really entertaining and good. I highly recommend it. I mean, it might not stick the landing though. I don't know, because that's how I felt about The Postman too, and I felt like the second half of The Postman not so great. Also, I feel
the same way about Dies the Fire. Really hard.
I still want to read that though.
It's good.
It could have ended 75% way through that book, nice. And I've been like, yeah, keeps going.
I'm still listening to History on Fire, which is the Daniela Bolelli history podcast, and it's great. He had one about the Iceman, a man they found in the Italian Alps.
Ozi or whatever?
Ozi. That was really interesting. He tells the story really well, but one of the things I like about him is that he always tries to tell jokes, but it's so clear that he's written them down as he's saying them that he'll be like, he's like, in my mind, this person would be the kind of person who does this thing. You know what I mean? Okay. Anyway. And he'll just, he tries to tell the joke, but then just moves on because, you know, he's not going to hear your laughter anyway.
Yeah.
And then he did one about the 10,000 who were 10,000 Greek mercenaries that, a civil war in Persia was happening between two Persian brothers, and the younger Persian brother, who did not have a claim to the throne, split off, hired 10,000 Greek mercenaries, and went to wage war on his brother. And they were doing really well, but they got way too far from their supply lines. But the young prince, the older brother prince doesn't, he's the king of Persia now. He doesn't fight the front lines, but the younger prince is like, the gods ordained me to rule. I'm going to rule and take this over. So he goes to the front lines to inspire everybody. And the entire way, everybody's having second thoughts that they're going to do well. And this kid at every turn comes through
and
does a great job of keeping everybody together and everybody happy. And they go and fight. He goes and fights on the front lines, dies. And then these 10,000 mercenaries are just stuck in enemy lines. And they're like, we are something like 7,000 miles from home. and it's about how they get back all the way.
Holy shit.
They keep encountering like different tribes that are at war with each other, but none of them will give them safe passage, so they have to fight. These 10,000 Greek hoplite mercenaries have to fight through 7,000 miles of country just to get back home.
I need that one more than anything.
It's really good. I highly recommend it.
I want a three-part movie.
That would be good. Well, the thing that's fascinating about it is it's a great story, but they're not good people. Like, that's the thing to remember. Yeah. They're, at no point are they good people, but it's very good.
Well, no, so you mean modern storytelling?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're Greeks and Persia, so they're the good guys.
No.
The West.
No good guys in this one.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Burn the crops. Fuck it.
There's never any good guys.
Yeah. So, also, I finished the Hardcore History series, The Death Throes of the Republic, which is about the end of the Roman Republic.
Yeah, I love that one.
Holy shit, I had no idea Julius Caesar was such a huge badass.
Yeah.
He was amazing. I mean, I knew how he died. I didn't know all the planning that he did leading up to it, all the victories he won leading up to it, and everything he planned for the moment he died. It was amazing.
And how it all kind of went off okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
he's incredible. I highly recommend listening to that. It's like $2 an episode, I think.
Yeah. Well, but it's just one of those situations where, like, how many times is someone overthrown and then within the next generation gets to be remembered fondly? Almost nobody.
Yeah. And, I mean,
he pulled it off.
Every emperor after him was called Caesar. Yeah, you know? It's a big deal.
He got a month. Like, yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah, he only got a month. Well, I mean... It's unbelievable.
He only got a month.
Some people get a day, a week, if you're great. He got a month. Like, the month is.
I'll spoil it a little bit. He was a populari supporter, so he was for the people. He was not a member of the Senate. Well, I mean, he ran for Senate, stuff like that, but he was not basically one of the well-to-do people.
Was he a tribune?
No, he was not a tribune.
Not a tribune.
He was not a tribune, but he put tribunes in place, but he needed their help because he wanted to support the cause of the populari. And everybody's cynical in Rome. Oh, he's only doing it for his own interest. Tries to put forward these rules, and then they kill him.
In the Senate.
In the forum. And Mark Antony is his right-hand man and will not let them throw his body in the river. And they're not willing to kill Mark Antony over it. So, and that's a huge mistake. Like, if they wanted this plan to succeed, they need to have thrown his body in the river so these people don't have anywhere to go to grieve him. Because they've decided to have a funeral for him. And at the funeral, they read the will, and he left everything of his, all his farms, everything, to the people. And then Mark Antony reads his oath of office for the Senate to uphold the life of the consul, to uphold and protect the life of the consul, which Caesar was. And he points out that everybody in the Senate swore that oath, and the crowd goes ape shit. And they bring torches out, and when the funeral pyre is lit for Caesar, they light the torches off of Caesar's funeral pyre and go burn down the homes of the Senate. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
It worked out.
All they wanted to do was make Rome great again.
Gotta love a tribune, though. You'd be like,
except for the final tribune, which is the one that betrayed Caesar.
Well, yeah. Any good idea is usually going to turn to shit after a while.
I was going to say, he was the last one for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a piece of shit. Also, I watched the documentary Do I Sound Gay, which was great. It's basically a gay man who's embarrassed by the sound of his voice because he knows the moment people hear it, they know he's a gay man. And he is talking about how he went to speech therapy when he was a kid, and then he realized that when he went to speech therapy, all the other kids, like all the other gay men that he knows now, also went to speech therapy to correct a lisp, but they don't have lisps. Like the gay lisp that people talk about, that's not actually a lisp. It's like extra sibilance. Like
to compensate for it?
Well, no, a lisp would be if you make a TH sound or your tongue gets in the way during S sounds, like thump.
Yeah, we have friends that do that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lisp. Whereas the gay lisp is like it's like, no, stop, like, please, let's be serious, you know, like that kind of thing. And that's exactly what the guy who does this documentary sounds like, and he hates it, and he's so embarrassed by it. And he interviews all these other gay men, like some of them sound like him, some of them sound like the most macho dudes you'd ever met in your life.
Like us.
Yeah, like us.
Yo, yeah, no, I am terribly masculine.
It's funny because by the end of the documentary, it's less about him correcting it because he goes to like a speech therapist and tries to correct it. And he's just at the end of it, he's like, oh, I don't care anymore. Fuck it. Like, like, who gives a shit? Like, who cares what I sound like? It was really cool. But what's funny is that his friends at the end of it, and you can kind of agree with them, are like, you do sound different now, though. You sound different. And I think it's because it's this confidence you didn't have that you have now. And that's changed the way that you speak and present yourself. You're not scared of saying things a certain way. So now you sound more macho in a weird way.
Hmm.
It was cool. It was a very interesting documentary. I recommend it. And I also finished season 2 of Daredevil, which was awesome. I don't have a lot to say about it without spoiling things for people.
Yeah, let's wait 2 weeks. Okay. Max and Doug, catch up.
Okay, so now on to our own work. Before we start critiquing what each other has brought in, Doug has a new idea he wants to go over with the group, so we're going to do that in a second. But let's talk about the projects we're currently working on and describe them for anybody who's a new listener before we get into critiquing the piece that we brought in. Liam.
I'm doing a bit of, I wouldn't call it high fantasy, medium fantasy.
Like Game of Thrones, almost, except without dragons?
Yeah, I don't know. There's no magic.
Okay.
But it's a pseudo-fantasy setting because it's not totally historical. And it's mostly just about two kids growing up in a pseudo-communist collective. And my whole plan is eventually they're going to have to go out into the world and then, like, deal with monarchy, which I hate. That's mostly the story.
So, and you have two main characters.
Yeah. Clovis and Bart, vaguely Celtic, vaguely Slavic, outskirts of European descent. And then they're going to go up against a British Persian conglomerate.
And they're known as the Fox and the Ox, and they're two young boys.
I changed that.
Oh, okay.
In the last draft.
Okay, so they're no longer the Fox and the
they
Ox.
They will be. They're just not yet there.
Okay, cool. Now, is this going to be a novel, or is it going to be... What about you, Max?
I am working on a sort of fantasy story based on the American Revolution and the East Florida Rangers, who were Florida and Georgia colonials who fought for the crown. And it's about a aristocratic captain of a ship who has to see everything he holds dear crumble around him, and he fights against it, joined by a lower class lieutenant of Marines who kind of lives in the shit and sees things that the captain never could.
Is this a novel as well, or is it like a novella?
Yeah, see where it goes.
You got a lot of ground you can cover.
As for me, I'm working on a novel, on the shitty first draft of a novel about a kid named Malcolm who gets transported to a crazy world that he doesn't know anything about and kidnapped by a group of people that look like upright foxes that can talk and walk, but they don't speak English. He has to learn their language. It's about his kind of coming of age in a strange place while separate from his normal everyday family.
And it's tight.
So, Doug, what's your idea?
Well, I'm starting new, starting fresh. I was working on a feature film, screenplay rather. A friend of mine at work was like, man, I really would like to make a short film, or I'd like to film a different movie. And he didn't really have an idea. And I'm like, well, the thing I'm working on, there's no way it could be filmed, you know, at least not on a small budget. And
Hallmark Channel budget.
Maybe, yeah. But,
I don't know.
Nothing that we could film ourselves.
Hallmark Channel movies?
A couple days later, we're having an entirely different conversation, and we would pitch ideas like, oh, I'd like to do a movie about like this or that or whatever, but an entirely different conversation was happening, and I don't remember how it came up, but we were talking about LARPing, because he's not familiar with LARPing at all. Like, it was a completely foreign concept to him, and I start to...
Hasn't he seen Role Models?
That's a good movie. He has not seen
Role
Models.
Doug, how can he be your friend if he's not familiar with LARPing?
No, I'm just saying. So... he hadn't seen Role Models, and in fact, I was saying, like, oh, that's, like, a good example, except it's just a small part of that movie. I figured, oh, a better example might be this story that I read on 4chan years ago, and I thought it was the most fascinating, funny story that is supposedly a true story, so I just started to retell it from my memory, and he just starts dying laughing, because the story is really funny, and it's too crazy. It's almost too crazy to be true, but since it's anonymously posted, and... The story, the way it progresses, I mean, it sounds very feasible. And in a nutshell, he was like, that should be the movie. Like, that's a whole movie right there. And I'm like, you know what? You're kind of right. That is like a whole movie. And the story, to describe it super briefly, is like, it's a guy who gets coaxed into going LARPing with his two friends from high school. And they used to LARP back in high school, but he stopped doing it because he thought it was dumb. So he sort of goes against his better judgment, but he just sort of wants to hang out with his friends one last time before they get too old. And while there, through a series of events, they accidentally stumble across treasure that they weren't supposed to find because the main storyteller of the group, like, is railroading everybody, and it goes against his entire plan. And as punishment for accidentally breaking the story, they're like, oh, main character, your character's going to be put to death, and you're going to have to start from scratch the next day. Put him in jail, and they put him in, like, in the fake jail, and his friends are like, hey, man, you better just confess so that they don't kill you, because we want to do this thing, and we want to roleplay the whole time. And he's like, no, this is bullshit. And while they're describing this detain, they want him to surrender, he's like, wait a minute, you guys aren't here to bust me out of jail? Because he's not in his designated jail cell area. And they're like, no. And then he, like, looks around, and he's like, but you pulled me out of the cell to tell me this? And they're like, well, yeah, but... And then he just bolts into the woods, because it's taking place at the campground. And the rest of the story is First Blood done with nerds with fake weapons.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I want that so hard.
The main bad guy, the main villain in this story is the Archduke, the guy who's the storyteller of the whole camp. Is like, bring him, I want him alive, I want his head, you know, like, you know, just like, and he offers like 100 gold pieces for anyone who brings him, who brings him in. But the crazy thing is that the guy telling the story is, he's just average shape dude, but everyone there is like a really skinny nerd or a really fat neckbeard, so every time he gets into a scuffle, he's just like dodging them or outrunning them, and he's willing to hide in the woods where they're not willing to go off the beaten trail, and it's hilarious. And I started breaking down the story of like, how could it be a movie? Is there enough there to make it a movie? And what I've got so far, this is how I start most ideas that I have with that could be movies. I'll test them by comparing them to a Joseph Campbell 12-step hero's journey outline. And if I feel like it's close enough, or I feel like, you know, could you explain it using a 12-step hero's journey outline, then I think, all right, well, then there's at least a complete idea there. There's at least a complete adventure there. Maybe I can flesh it out into a film. So that's what I did. I broke it down into 12 steps, and it allowed me to sort of extrapolate on the idea and, like, give more reason as to why he's there and why would he put up with, the you know, these people, and why would he refuse to break character? Like, why must he beat them at their own game instead of just walking back to his car and driving home, you know? And got some interesting ideas, so I'm looking forward to fleshing out the idea in future episodes, so you guys can hear more details about it.
Yeah, I'm stoked for this.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. It sounded like Knights of Badassdom at first, but
yeah, no magic involved. It's way better. It's just this guy who he wanted to have one last hurrah with his friends, you know, after, you know, because they've graduated high school years ago and they haven't really hung out since then. So I guess in a way, I kind of felt like I related to it because, you know, after high school, everyone goes their separate ways, and high school wasn't like an awesome thing for me, but you know.
Do they?
It sounds like you need something to have happened in this guy's life where he's like, for this character to really, for this whole story to like work and feel solid, something must have happened in this guy's life that makes him feel like he doesn't have anywhere he belongs, or he doesn't have anything like to him, or some a close family member died and he doesn't know what direction to take his life in, and like he goes here and he's like I don't even know, and they're trying to cheer him up by taking this thing, and then he like finds new purpose in defeating nerds.
Can I suggest that they execute his friends? Like, in-game, execute his friends?
Oh, no, because, like, the friends, that's the thing. Because he has two friends, right? And one of them is closer, in reality, is a closer friend than the other. Like, the other one's, like, you know, he was around and he's a good friend, but he's not, like, the closest friend. The closest friend plays basically like a warrior, and his other friend plays a mage, and the mage is like always sucking up to the head archduke and like, you know, wants to be a noble house or whatever. And his closest friend is a warrior who's like, he's honor bound to find him and kill him. And he would really rather not, but if he doesn't, then they're going to kill him, you know? So it's like they bump into each other several times throughout the night, like throughout the weekend rather. And is just like, hey man, you know, I can't blame you for running away, but this is just what my character would do, so I'm sorry, I gotta take you down. And he's like, no, I know, I understand, and my character would fight you back, so let's do it. And then they just get into these epic fights, like, and using magic and shit. And it seems all very silly, but the thing that is fascinating to me is there's a unique opportunity here to tell, like, three layers of story, like, Inception style. There's the story of this fictional world of an archduke hunting down a, you know, guy who escaped wrongful imprisonment, right?
Fantasy Rambo.
Yeah, Fantasy Rambo. There's the level above that, which is the nerds that are playing this game and how the game is played and how this guy is trying to have fun by beating them at their own game. And then there's, like, the level above that, which is the emotional story of this guy trying to reconnect with his friends while they're pretending to try and kill him, but yet it's all in good fun, and him learning a bit more about himself, you know, so it's like there's these multiple things all happening at the same time that I think is unique and funny, to where, like, I would picture it where, you know, they're in the woods fighting with these foam swords, but should they have the sound effects of, like, real swords, you know? Like should you hear the music in, and yes. Should you hear the epic music?
Oh, definitely the epic music. Yeah. If not the foam swords, the epic music.
Yeah, because, like, the you want to be or in you that. Could even, I could think just... it'd be great if you could not show anything that isn't in reality. So keep it 100% realistic, the visuals, but yet pull you into the story so much that if you, like, got up in the middle of the movie and, like, went to the bathroom and came back, you wouldn't be like, oh, man, these are just nerds in the woods. But you'd be like, oh, shit, did he get to kill the Duke? You know, like, you're in it. You know, even though if you turn the sound off, you'd be like, what the fuck's going on? You're like, well, why would I care? But just because you're hearing it from their perspective and you're seeing how serious that they're taking it, you get invested in whether or not he's going to get vengeance, you know, and at the same time, is he going to have fun with his friends, or are they going to think he's being a jerk, you know, like this, so all that stuff. So it's, I'm looking forward to fleshing out the idea further, but
let us know when you want to film this, because
we're a bunch of pasty nerds.
I do historical recreation.
The only thing I'm worried about is that this was a story posted on 4chan, and I don't know, like, I'm gonna have to look into, like, not the legalities necessarily, because, I mean, it was an anonymous posting on a otherwise public, you know, website.
Well, not only that, Doug, it's not copywritten. Like his telling of it is copywritten, but by the time you're done with this, it's going to be a different story.
True, yeah. And that's the other thing, too. There was other things like, oh, man, it'd be better if he did this instead, you know, and we could always just change that. But either way, Nerd Rambo is really, like, the way I was is the easiest way I could describe it.
I would go see Nerd Rambo. If that was the name of the actual movie, I'd be
Nerd First Blood, really. I think that's
Nerd First Blood is the more specific, It's Nerd First Blood, except there's no post-traumatic stress, you know, commentary or anything like that. It's really just he's willing to get dirty in the woods and, like, you know, and crawl through leaves when no one else is willing to, and that's his great escape plan, you know.
God, I want to say I'm imagining just the last scene of Rambo, but he's dressed up like a wizard, crying. He's like, "You don't have any legs, man! Like, I can't feel my legs."
I would say for PTSD, like, the amount of their soul that people put into their characters,
They would be crushed.
To have them actually destroyed would be such a crushing thing that it could send them into a PTSD. There's a couple good Netflix documentaries on Netflix about it.
I hate
and
some of them.
Those people go insane when their characters get messed with, to where they could snap in the woods.
All right, well, let's talk about what we brought in.
All right.
Liam, what did you bring in this week?
I brought in Kennings for the fourth time.
Okay.
But this was a major reworking. They're not referred to the Fox and the Ox this entire time.
Just Clovis and Bart the whole time.
Clovis and Bart the whole time. There's probably one or two places where I missed it. There's a lot more information on the culture that they're surrounding in. I gave some more information on Bart and why he doesn't want to be a miner. There's like 800 words more of it now.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're heading the right direction with it.
I remember last time we were talking.
I'm not sold on how the clans work yet. I still feel like I'm working through it. Mm-hmm. I know the Eastern guys are going to be hunters and scouts. Makes sense. It works.
I like that you went into detail that 10 of the children were lost on the first winter from their hearth mates.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a better idea of the risk involved in this world.
Or why making it to an adult is so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone there is like, yay, a lot of us didn't make it.
It's good so far. I feel like in this draft Bart is more fat and less strong than he seemed in the other ones.
Good.
Okay,
because that makes when he's strong better, because he doesn't think he's strong at all.
It's definitely, even just calling him the Ox originally,
it makes you,
I think of him as somebody who's strong. So I see why you're removing that.
And I remember last time we were talking about the games. You were wondering. I was thinking the different guilds in there would compete against each other for things, you know. Because your whole way of life is about doing a job.
Yeah.
So wouldn't they just show off that they can do that job better?
Okay. Actually, yeah.
The whole point of their games would be to show off, like.
And the scouts should always win the long race. If they don't win the long race, then there's the huge amount of dishonor.
They're like, this is how we survive.
And, you know, like a miner should always win the log carry, and then
Yeah.
some 16-year-old kid beats them. And they're like,
that could be good.
The mm-hmm. idea that if you're not clanned yet, you can go independent.
Hmm.
That'll work. I like that. That's a good idea. Cool. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if everything is based on working for the community, yes,
that's what everything
games
is
would be
on.
That too.
I'm working on a thing where maybe they have a little bit of money and they're going to bet it. The reason why the fox seems so like the reason why they're going to call him the fox is he makes this giant bet and then it doesn't seem like he's going to win until the very last second. And he's in the back of the pack, and then right before they hit the finish line, he just bolts and has been saving this whole time. And they're like, "Ah, fuck you."
That could be good.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of the same of what you brought in, but better refined, and I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm probably from now on, I'm gonna stop bringing in the whole thing, because before I was really searching for tone, and kind of a setting scene. Yeah. And now I think I can move forward with plot. I didn't feel secure enough in where I was coming from to start moving things forward. But now I'm there.
Yeah, it definitely feels like from start to finish it has a consistent tone and voice. I have a very real texture to what I'm seeing, you know.
I would say the only thing that was weird to me was you set up this whole time you're setting up like how hard this world is to live in, and they're very concerned about where they're going to be placed in society. Like, they want specific jobs and they want to avoid these other jobs and everything. And then suddenly they stop to do a foot race. But now you're talking about tying in the games to do, like,
yeah.
Tying in with how
the
world
works.
Go ahead.
The thing about it is, like, winter, most people get to stop doing things because they're farmers, and you can't farm during winter. Like, they have to work because of the way because they're so far south, they have to farm their ass off 6 months of the year because you cannot, there just isn't enough food in winter. And that's why they have to be together.
Right. I mean, I got that aspect of it, but mm-hmm. the idea for me was like they seemed so concerned about their future, like jobs, and then the race didn't. I mean, like it wasn't bad. It just didn't seem like it connected to me. But like Max was saying, like if you have it where it's more about the job they're doing, like if you're a miner, you have to do like the log haul, or if you're the scout, you have to do the long run and stuff. And if it was like if that somehow had an impact on, you know, the guy who's the fox, he's like, you know what? I bet if I do this race, even though I haven't been picked as a scout yet, I can really show off that I can do this job, and then I'll have a better chance of being picked as a scout. Like, if that was his angle, then it's like, oh, shit, I get why this is so important to him. Otherwise, it does come off as just like, they're just trying to make a quick buck, or they're just having fun. But if that's what you're going for, then cool, that's what I got. But if it was more of like, oh, I want to show off because I want to be picked as a scout, then I didn't quite get that.
My main goal for the games was to be like, these kids are not superhuman, but they're exceptional in their own way, mm-hmm. but through body type and training and persistence. Like, the fox isn't accidentally going to win anything ever. He's very deliberate, and it seems laissez-faire just because he's planned so far ahead. And then I want the ox to be, like, again, a very unassuming person, but the reason why he's unassuming is nothing's ever been hard for him unless he compares himself to this genius.
Yeah, I'm for it. I want more.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna bring in next week? Is it or next
more of
episode?
That?
Just I mean, probably the game.
Yeah,
cool. What about you, Max?
All right. In the past, in my story, you guys like the Marine Lieutenant. Mm-hmm. You wanted to make him a character.
At least the concept of him.
Yeah, yeah, he seemed like a good counterpoint.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking that, and then I liked that idea, so I wrote a small piece about the lieutenant celebrating the little battle they just had. He was raised into the gentry, he was made a gentleman and officer, but he's not really a gentleman, so he hangs out with the sergeants and corporals that he used to hang out with, which kind of puts him out of society. He's in a middle gray ground where he doesn't really feel comfortable, and his only one point is that the captain did him a good turn, so he'll defend the captain no matter what. And just going through, and you can kind of see what the other sergeants think of the upper class, like, you know, they can't trust them, they'll do whatever.
This had the best voice of anything mm-hmm. you've brought in so far about how, I mean, especially character wise you get a lot of character from mm-hmm. this.
Even the things the opposite character said,
yeah,
because you know, you establish that they're in opposition, everything they say tells you more about the lieutenant. Everything works towards yeah. one goal, and that's setting up who the lieutenant is.
I like the Andrew Jackson line there at the end, where he's like, by your power or mine, yeah. you know, remove yourself from there.
I want to do that, and I want to go back and rework the story of the battle to show more of the captain's inner turmoil of what's going on. But then the people seeing him are just like, oh, he's a machine, nothing is going on. But in his head, he's like, fuck, 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 fuck. what am I doing? What do I do? But the lieutenant would see him as like a superhero, and that'll kind of unravel as they go, as the lieutenant understands the world more than the captain will,
mm-hmm.
and they'll kind of have a lessening of the distance between them.
I liked it, man. I just want more.
Yeah, I want to go in.
I'd love to see them interact at a certain point, because I don't really have the... we had the captain's internal monologue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw things from his perspective, but we haven't really heard his voice. And if you could think of a scenario where these two interact, like I'd really like to see how that plays out.
Especially if the captain could be a little bit more at ease than when in direct full in command direct
battle.
Mm-hmm. You're like...
Or even him just like admitting that he doesn't know everything, you know, just like, well, you know, how are the men?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to juxtapose this with the I had a little bit at the end, the official celebration of the action,
mm-hmm.
to where like everything's rich and you know there's this whole world going on of obliviousness where the captain lies and he's like, oh yes, never a problem or anything, and then I think they could get together on the ship afterwards.
That could be cool if there was an official thing where you have like the captain give a speech or something, you know, that gives you a much better idea of who he is to them and then who he is to his lieutenant.
Yeah, and then he can go back on the ship and talk to the lieutenant and, you know, what really happened and all that.
Mm-hmm. But as for this, I mean, it's two pages, but it's good. I liked it.
Cool. I got to get into characters more, like their actions for what I bring. But yeah, I'm going to keep working on this.
Yeah, you have two solid characters that have enough common ground and enough things to fight about or see from different point of views to really make... You don't have a world to describe anymore. You have two very different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Cool.
As for me, I brought in the probably first half of the fifth chapter of Malcolm Hat. And Malcolm is being escorted back to the village after his encounter with the monster. He wakes up in Kelvin's home, and he's been set free in a sense, where he can spend his days outside of his cell.
I dug this shit.
Yeah,
this is
it.
My shit.
I like the meal part, where he's coming to terms with being a 21st century American, doesn't have anything to do with his own meal prep, any getting of his own meat, and they're just like, then how do you eat meat? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, does your meat grow on trees? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying... My big worry is that it would come off as, like, preachy, you know? Like the kind of, like, this is my stance on American farming. Or,
it didn't feel that way because it didn't feel like Kelvin was your mouthpiece. It felt like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It felt like more about Kelvin than the author.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it was like, this thing actually tried to kill you yesterday. So...
Yeah, it didn't feel like preachy because he was mostly just asking Malcolm questions, you know? Like, he wasn't like, this is what it should be. This is the natural order of things. So it was more of like, well, where do you get food where you come from? You know, like, he just asks.
Yeah.
And just by him asking, you're inferring the entire culture behind him of how they view it. So it didn't come off as preachy at all to me.
And it doesn't go the other way because you're like, oh, I didn't know you eat meat. And he's like, yeah, we eat whatever we can get our hands on, like...
Yeah, like, that alone says it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. We survive. There's no classifications of people who don't eat things. It's like, we eat.
Yeah, we don't have the luxury of picking what we eat when we eat. You know, it's a matter of what we can find.
We do what we want, we eat what there is.
Is that a quote?
That's Kerouac, yeah.
Okay. The journey back, this was a hard chapter to write.
That can be expanded.
Yeah, there's a hard chapter to write because I'm always worried about giving too much information. I think you guys are probably noticing that, like... Mm. Like where I have to try to find places where I have to always try to sneak in information or find a good way to sneak it. I don't know why I'm so petrified of an info dump. I'm gonna have to info dump next chapter or the second half.
Well,
of this chapter.
One kind of feels like the result of info dump because he's in his head most of the time and he's like just processing everything that's gone down. Like he's by himself just processing.
And it makes references back to his mother and Jimmy, and it ties it. Mm-hmm. The reason why I like this chapter maybe more than any other chapter is it feels like a small culmination moment. Like this was something that changed the relationship with him and Kelvin, and the reason why it's cemented is he definitely feels different about the characters he's directly interacting with, but he also immediately talks and thinks back to where he was from.
Yeah.
And you connected those things very effortlessly. They made sense. You brought the reader into that mindset, and you get to remind them of who he was four chapters ago.
Yeah, and he's already become a slightly different person, and we have grown with him. Like, I kind of echo what Liam was saying, where it's every chapter that you've brought, I'm liking the character. I never disliked the character, but I'm liking and relating to him more and more and more, because the more that happens to him, you know, like, the more I get experience it at the same time. So again, his reactions building his character backwards. Like, you know, when you start with chapter one, it's like, ah, he's just a kid. But then chapter two, something happens. Chapter three, more and more and more. And then when you're giving these little bits of exposition each time, it's you're pushing the plot forward while expanding his story backwards. And I'm getting to like him more and more. So yeah. I can't think
and
of
you're
anything
getting,
else.
And you're getting, awesome. You're getting little flashes of wisdom. And the reason why I like that they're little is he's not a fully developed person.
Right.
Right.
In reality, like yeah. as a yeah. child, he's not a fully developed person.
Well, he doesn't know the implications yeah. of things as they yeah. happen. He has to reflect on them later.
So he'll make a little joke, or he'll make a tiny, tiny little epiphany about how not only how the world works that he's in, but how that applied to his former life. And he makes a little step in the right direction. And even though it's the tiniest, tiniest little thing, internally as a reader, I'm like, fuck yes, Malcolm. You took a step in the right direction.
This is so great yeah. bringing this into you guys, because when I'm writing it, I don't no positive thoughts go through my head. Like I'm writing it and I'm like, no, that's terrible.
No,
try again.
I mean, when you write,
the only thing I would say is when you write more, could you give us big bulky things to cut down rather than like
I want to.
That's easier to like to me. That's easier to edit because here I have questions that I'm not sure are going to be answered in later chapters. And if they are and they work, I don't want you to shoehorn them in.
Right.
But if you're giving me everything you want and then a little more, we'd be like, that's too much. It feels harder because it just feels a little emaciated.
I
everything
think,
there is good.
Every question you have, I think I've prepared for.
Good.
I think I have. I'm not positive. So do you have questions offhand that you know? I'm not going to answer them, but I'd like to know them.
Yeah. One, I don't know if you ever, like, I don't want you to answer why Malcolm's father is in jail directly.
Okay. Yeah, I don't, well.
I do not want that.
I plan for him to come to a realization about it, but not to answer it.
Good. That's one that doesn't need answering for the reason where, like, he needs to come to his own conclusion and kind of spoiling that for him doesn't, it wouldn't matter by the time you're done. I want to know more about the Wilvicks.
Mm-hmm.
And how they function.
That's literally going to be the second half of this chapter.
That's got to happen because I want to know how Malcolm is going to fit into that situation. And I want him to be aware that he needs to do that for his own sake even. Right now he feels like an outsider. I want him to figure out how to not feel like an outsider.
Okay.
As much at least.
Say one thing, I like the blanket part, the sleeping mat.
Oh, that he realized.
Yeah, realized that it was an animal, that it was just... It was a kid. It was a blanket. And then he suddenly realizes something about life. That, like, oh,
things
shit,
come from places.
This was the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was another good little snippet. Didn't require much, but it showed his progression.
Yeah, and you didn't beat anyone over the head with anything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my worry. I mean, that's my number one worry is that I'll overstate it. I try so hard to make it so that I've said just enough about it to where you're like, oh, okay. And then I can leave it.
I'm just saying for an editing and a talking about it piece, I think it's easier to scale back something that's gone too far than for us to know if there's any more meat on the bone. You're like, here's all the meat. And I'm like, is there meat on the bone? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, I want to say that I don't know.
I'm way too self-critical on it.
I don't know if the reason why this particular piece of your writing is improving because you're getting more in the head of Malcolm or if just because you're writing more in the same story, but I'm really digging the improvements you're doing on picking better comparisons that Malcolm is making to the world around him. For example, when they get into the clearing, you say it's like no bigger than a baseball diamond. Whereas, like, I feel like when you first started writing the book, you would have said, it's like maybe 30 feet by 40 feet. You know, like you would have given a more concrete number. But now, like, all of the references and observations that he's making are truly sound like they're coming from him and not from you. And that's, I feel like that's really getting me in his head way easier than ever before.
I think you've cool. found Malcolm the most in this chapter.
Okay, cool.
I know, you found him and get to find him through you. And I now know who Malcolm is.
Awesome.
And I hung out with Malcolm as a kid. And I liked Malcolm.
Well, cool.
And now he's going to be a terrifying person.
Yeah, he's going to be
and
scary.
And when we grow up, we're going to get married.
Dude, I would...
Liam and Malcolm sitting in a tree.
Well, guys...
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Thank you so much for the feedback. I can't wait to give you guys more about this story. All right, so now we're going to do the bad story trailers part of the podcast. And because we're doing it different, I want to go over the trailers that we've had so far.
All right.
And talk about what kind of movies these are before we roll.
I want to trip down memory lane myself.
Okay. So number one is The Friar of Kallawick.
Classic.
Which is a film noir in like a medieval setting where a friar has to go to a small town to find to see if heresy is going on. And it is.
Yeah. It was, I think, a good first attempt. Kind of didn't know what we were doing.
Didn't know. We were just kind of winging
it. It worked all right.
Figured out our voices or lack thereof.
Yeah.
I think we did a trailer for a radio play more than a movie for that one.
I think that's kind of more what all of ours are, though, to be fair.
Bringing back radio shows.
Number cool. two is Secondhand Memories.
About
an old grizzled woman.
That might be my number one.
who can see... how does she know things? I don't remember how her powers work.
She's clairvoyant.
Yeah, she's clairvoyant. She knows things about people.
No, it was written in the books that she returned, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. She knows the future because she writes in books, but she can tell that people are lying.
Yeah, she knows whether or not people are lying. And mm-hmm. and she had her memory wiped, so she wrote the truth down in a book that she knew she was going to buy from a secondhand bookstore. Number three is The Planet Without Christmas, a group favorite.
Yes.
That is, Doug, why don't you tell us what that one's about?
Well, the original trailer versus what the movie I was hoping it would become.
Yes.
In a nutshell, it's in the future. And a delivery man crash lands. A delivery man who delivers cargo on a spaceship by himself. He crash lands on this planet that's colonized by humans who have that's like a mining colony. But they're on a planet that has such a large orbit around their star. They don't measure time the same way that we do. So they've never celebrated Christmas. It's like all the kids on this planet just never celebrated Christmas. So he's going to give Christmas to them, and he unwittingly becomes their version of Santa Claus.
Yeah, fun Hallmark Hallmark Channel sci-fi.
Yeah, it's a good family
which is
family
a
sci-fi.
Genre that I can get behind.
Yeah, number four is Zhangshi Agogo, and we called it Jingashi Agogo, and that is a retired detective from Scotland Yard has to investigate an outbreak of Chinese zombies.
Was he a detective or was he a magistrate?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
He was Michael Caine.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
Number five is A Dark Light Year, another detective story because we keep getting those about a guy who goes to a distant planet of lizard people and bird people.
Yeah,
and has to investigate.
I forgot about that one.
Has to investigate a murder in the royal family. All right, number six is Bog the Unspeakable, where a kind of badass nobody rolls into town like a Clint Eastwood in Good and Bad and the Ugly, but it's a sword and sorcery story. And he comes in and becomes the best wizard in a sword and sorcery story and builds up a power base and becomes the new Scarface by the end and unseats all the old crazy wizards and sorcerers. Number seven is Chrome on the Range. Chrome on the Range, about a young boy who builds a robot to be his night protector to lead him through dangerous wastelands to get medicine for his mother.
Lone wolf and Android?
In a post-apocalyptic Earth kind of scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Number eight is The Right Side of History, about a guy on trial.
God, I hope that one doesn't come up.
There ain't no sequel in that one.
There's no fucking sequel to that.
I disagree. I thought of one. But The Right Side of History is a guy is on trial for murder, and he claims he's a time traveler who just shot the next Hitler as a child. It's from the lawyer's point of view. Number nine is Mother Superior. that one's about a nun who's a magical girl who transforms and fights evil with a magical yardstick.
I think it's the only anime or animated film we've created.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, though.
Yeah, no. Any of these could be animated. And
we'll
work
get
fine.
There.
Chrome
we'll
on the
there.
Range would be good if it was
Chrome
animated.
Chrome on the Range would be especially Afro Samurai style.
Number 10 is The Pearl of Titan, which is very much a John Carter of Mars story.
Rip-off.
Where he's to save this princess named Pearl. And I don't know. Sounds fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Starring
fun.
The lovable Dirge.
The lovable Dirge. Yeah. He was a. I forgot. He was a dastardly criminal.
Scoundrel of a
scoundrel,
man.
Scoundrel. Yeah.
Dashing debonair.
Number 11 is Mask of the Tengu, where a young girl puts on a Tengu mask and becomes a Tengu in ancient Japan that has to protect her ancestor.
The trailer, I had no idea what the fuck we were talking about the whole time.
Number 12 is Better Than the Real Thing, which is a story of, basically it's a retelling of Cyrano de Bergerac, except for Cyrano is a robot. And is and eventually falls in love. It's a rom-com where the dumb guy who falls in love with a girl is outdone by the robot who ends up, you know, getting the girl at the end.
Yeah, to my displeasure.
Number 13 is Off the Wall, which is the fantasy story about from the point of view of the mirror.
Yes.
Oh, I love that one.
That one was amazing.
Holy crap, that was funny.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was him. It was him and the Minotaur friends from the maze. Number 14 is Our Kind of Town, which we couldn't believe hadn't been made yet.
Yeah.
About a bunch of guys from a magical universe sliding through into our universe and becoming mobsters, and then accidentally being unlikely heroes by having to stop the fire giant Surt who broke through after them.
Kind of a Ghostbusters ending.
Yeah, exactly. Number 15 is Gaslight Fantasy. It's the one where a lady cop in a world where magic is real thinks she's being gaslighted because there's people working there after she gets hit by this object that she doesn't recognize.
I forgot about that one, too.
It turns out to be a crazy conspiracy. Number 16 is Cannon Saga, where it's World War I diesel punk-esque story about a returning prince whose brother had become the king. And he's trying to sneak his sister out because his brother is too stubborn to surrender for this war. And they're all going to be killed if he doesn't surrender.
It's a downer.
It's a downer. It'd be a good flip, though. 17 is Twilight of the Techno Wizards.
Yes. One of my favorite titles.
That one is my favorite.
Where a guy finds a sword that has technology built into it in a world where people think the technology is magic. And the sword is very recognizable by the people of the next town he goes to. And they think he's there to punish the wizards that have taken over as part of the prophecy.
Who also, one has a drill, and that's he's super villain because
drill
he has
wizard,
a
wizard, yeah.
Yeah, he has a drill.
But he fulfills that prophecy, even though he has no idea what he's doing, and he doesn't want to hurt anybody. Number 18 is The Battle for Floyd. Where it's two.
Shit.
That two one old. Might be my deep in my heart.
Yeah. Two prospectors land on an alien planet and argue about it until one of them is killed by a major corporation, and then that one, it becomes First Blood, right? He has to take on this corporation of robots.
It's a revenge story, on the robot army.
So number 19 is The Arbiter, and that's the last one we did. It is it's about a new Texas mafia who gets embroiled in this crazy conspiracy that he tries to get the help of other mob organizations like the Triads, the Yakuza, the cartels, to band together against the Illuminati.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Also, we really need to make a supercut of all these so I can listen to them.
It's been a long time. All right, number 20 is a one that we did not record a trailer for. It was one that went unaired. If I roll this one, we're going to cut the trailer for it. We're not going to do a sequel. But it's called Curse Breaker, and it is about a man whose job it is to go into ancient tombs and break curses. But he is duped into doing one, and it releases the evil immortal Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan, yeah.
And he has to try to create a curse to put him back. So
Chris Pratt is a co-star in it.
You guys have any that you're hoping for
before all this time? Dude, I'm hoping for either Better Than the Real Thing or Curse Breaker. I really want to do Curse Breaker.
Battle for Floyd. Ugh. Where he would take that technology and go back to Earth to avenge. He's not done with his vengeance yet.
What about you, Doug?
I don't know, man. They're all pretty funny, but some of them lend themselves to sequels more than others. So I really don't know. We'll have to see what the dice says.
All right. Well, here we go.
Two.
Two is Secondhand Memories.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. We get to bring Madge back, or whatever her name was.
We need you, Doug.
All right, so I'm going to play the trailer for Secondhand Memories so you guys get to hear it right now.
Carrie had a talent that people would kill for. Don't you worry, Mr. Han. We're good for it.
Mm-mm. He's lying.
You are certain?
I ain't never wrong.
For decades, she lived life on her own terms.
Hi, ma'am. I'm with the Indian Guides in New Jersey, and we're trying to get to the powwow in the Poconos. Would you like to donate money to help us get there, please?
Beat it, bozo.
You're a real mean lady, you know that?
But one day, her favorite hobby threw her a curveball.
Hey, Miss C, is that all for you today?
I don't know, Tommy. You got any more used romance novels? Anything like a teenager with a werewolf?
I think you've read all of them. In fact, you brought these same books back about a month ago.
What are you talking about? I ain't never read these.
Yeah, you did, remember? You wrote in the margins and complained I wouldn't give you a full refund.
But her notes revealed a terrifying truth.
Oh my God, the bastards erased my memories!
The corporations gained something they never negotiated for. A powerful new enemy.
I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna take them for all they're worth.
Carrie, you weren't invited to G20.
Tough titty. Hey, who wants to buy Enzo Corp's secrets? I'm selling them to the highest bidder.
What? Somebody stop her!
Watch her take on the world in Secondhand Memories, coming this Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So what would she be doing?
Right, yeah. So. What's her second act?
No. It's obvious. She gets another book and finds another secret that they wiped from her memory that's even bigger than the first one.
Or older, even.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Aliens.
What if it was aliens?
Something about herself.
How she got her powers? An origin story?
Has to do with the government? What is a villain that she would have to come up against that would be the opposite of what she is?
Someone who can lie.
Yeah, someone who can lie without being detected. Or
someone who makes the lies the truth.
What if it was just someone who's completely blank? Like, they just talk monotone.
Yeah, unable
There's
to
no,
read, no matter what. Yeah.
No read at all.
Hmm. Like, she can't tell whether they're lying or telling the truth.
What about
it's
somebody...
Just, it's just white noise.
What about somebody who can convince people that something was true?
Ooh, I like that, too.
So when they said something that's not true, it comes across as the truth, even though it's a lie? So she tries to,
hired or something? They're so good at it that even when she's in the room, she goes, nah, he's lying. They still believe him.
No, I was thinking that she's like, well, he's telling the truth, but it's not true. Like, he thinks he's telling the truth, but it's clearly not true. He's not lying because he thinks it's the truth. Who told you this was true? You know, he's like, I don't remember. You know, and there's somebody out there she's got to go find who's
or
like,
what if it's the person who erases memories? Like, that's how her memory got erased. It is the person who is erasing memories.
Maybe. And then it's like a memento.
Yeah. And they're connected.
The memory eraser raped and killed my husband.
No. The memory eraser is her husband.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, that's because she wouldn't grant him a divorce. So it's like, we were never together.
And that's what the whole thing? Yes. Let's go with that.
She goes into the bookstore.
You owe me 20 years of alimony.
She opens a book. It's like a wedding album, and there's like family photos of like 20 years of life together. She's like, what the fuck is this?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But it should be almost like in her own attic or something, or
okay, yeah.
Buried in...
It's got a different cover on it or something.
Maybe like the town where she grew up, or there's some old storage unit that, like, somebody calls her about a storage unit, and she's like, oh, who's this? And it's like, it was your mom's. It was paid up until now. And it's like, my mom's been dead for 20 years. They're like, no. She died like 10, like she died like 15 months ago. It's like, what? And she's like, goes and opens the storage unit and finds all this shit.
Yes. Write it down. That's it. So there's the fucking shit right there.
Yes. And she's like, storms the castle.
So what's okay? So so this guy erased their life together,
mm-hmm.
and he'll erase her memory of him. How does she find him? Like how does she figure
like
out
think,
who this guy is?
Like the corporation had nothing to do with it. It was just that guy just did
I think,
it.
No, she needs, for some reason, she needs the help of the book dealer. like the guy.
So it's a buddy, like a buddy dealer. Cop thing.
Yeah.
No, because like, the whole thing is
like, you know this town better than
his
anybody.
His short-term memory is fucked.
Yeah, he's such a stoner, it just doesn't work on him. He's like, no, that's not how it went down.
He came in and he asked if you'd been here. I was like, yeah.
What if he said?
And then he was like, you won't remember this. And I said, you're probably right.
Yeah, that's the thing. What if he's so baked that the powers don't work on him because there's no memories to erase? He's just incomplete. He's just walking in.
But he has perfect memory though. Is what's funny. Like,
yeah.
What's the bad guy's goal? What's he doing that she's trying to stop?
What if he's just like trying to get married again or something?
You're still married to me, you prick.
Oh no, he's trying to erase Enzo Corp from everyone. Like they're rebranding, mm-hmm. So he's erasing them from their memory. So when they rebrand, there can't be any backlash.
Okay, and it discredits her.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right.
Dope.
I'm for that. So it's Secondhand Memories 2, right? What
Attack of the Memories.
what do you call it?
Secondhand memory. Third hand memories.
Return of the memories.
Something erased, like a...
Written and erased.
Carrie goes to Washington.
Secondhand memories, too.
The remembrance. The remember-geddon.
Remembrance Day.
This summer, it's deja vu all over again.
Dude. Yeah. Actually, secondhand memories, too. Deja vu.
What if it's deja vu and she comes in and kicks her ass?
Or,
prepared to see it again and again.
Secondhand memories, too. Forgetful spinster.
It's just Alzheimer's.
Oh, God. Took a dark
turn.
They
erased my memory.
No, but see, you just have Alzheimer's.
Selective amnesia.
The amnesiac.
Attack of the amnesiac.
Attack. Ooh, I like that.
Wait, no, but the person
amnesiac
who has...
Amnesiac attack?
Yeah, the person who has amnesia would be an amnesiac.
She's attacking.
Amnesiac attacker. Amnesiac attack.
Attack of the amnesiac. I like that one. It's alliterative, so I'm for it.
Back like the first to movie basics. Is like Memento meets Michael Clayton, and now it's like, I don't know, what is it?
Oh, she totally also, by the way, has to get high to be immune to his memory wiping. That is the final showdown, where she's just like stoned. Doug, can you do an old... crabby lady being stoned.
I have no idea.
Now I'm gonna get him.
But she just starts forgetting stuff, like where she set something. I'm gonna get you. I've got this gun. Where'd I put the gun?
Secondhand memories. High noon.
Firsthand revenge.
I like that.
Secondhand memories. Firsthand revenge.
Yeah. Well, secondhand memories too.
First hand revenge.
You guys like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
After taking down Enzo Corp, Carrie's life was on the up and up.
Hey, Tommy. I hope you got some good news for me.
Sure do, Missy. Full Moon Heat just released their 15-book collector's edition, complete with all the extra sex scenes that the editor made the author remove.
Can life get any better?
But her own narrative was not as clean as she had thought.
Hello, miss. Would you like today to be the day you help your local Indian guides?
Why can't you little turds just get jobs and stop bugging decent people?
You know, lady, my mom's right. You've been a real bitch ever since your husband left.
What are you talking about?
Get lost, lady.
Husband? I ain't never been married.
A special phone call is about to turn her life upside down.
Oh, you're calling about that unclaimed property thing? Yeah, it's unit 12.
I ain't never rented a storage unit.
No, it was your mom, as far as I understand.
What is this? My mom's been dead 20 years.
You sure? I got her in the logbook visiting last September before she passed on. Nice lady.
What was inside chilled her to the core.
What's this? A letter from Mom? A wedding album? I was married? Oh my God, the bastard wiped my memory!
With a little help from a friend, she's going looking for answers.
You sure about this, Tommy? He could really screw up your head.
Yeah, I don't have much of a memory anyway. Besides, you're 60% of my business. I can't let anything happen to you.
Such a sweetheart.
Join Carrie and Tommy on an epic quest for answers in Secondhand Memories 2, Firsthand Revenge.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Bad Storytellers, now presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream us from Google Play. I've been your host, Josh LaForge, and I'd like to thank my writing group again, Doug Banks, Liam Malone, and Max Wessel. Now remember, as listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Bad Storytellers on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.